Well, friends, we've come to the first book of Samuel, chapter 30. Just one chapter to go before we finish this book. And then I hope just to dabble a little, if I can say that, in 2 Samuel. We won't go through it in the detail we have of 1 Samuel, but we'll look at one or two important lessons from 2 Samuel when we come to it. But just this morning, 1 Samuel and chapter 30. And we have a text here this morning, there at the end of verse 6. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Well, we're glad we have at least one David here this morning, but of course this applies to all of us. And we want to know the Lord's blessing as we think about this great turnaround that came to David at this time. Well, we have been looking at these chapters and we've seen that everything became just too much for David. The outlaw pursued by Saul and his 3,000 crack troops. And we see that after such a valiant stand, a couple of occasions when he could have killed King Saul, but he understood that that wasn't right and proper, and he led his men valiantly, and he was fighting against the enemies of the Lord, those old Canaanites that still invaded the land of Judah especially. But then he broke, and he said, there's just a step between me and death. And he went over to the Philistines. Oh, poor David. He'd left off prayer. He'd left off trusting in the Lord. And he sought a worldly solution to his great problem. If I go to the Philistines, if I make my troops to be mercenaries in that land, then, of course, Saul will stop looking for me and I'll be saved. Wow. Awful thing for him to do. And he was given a little town to live in, the town of Ziklag, by King Achish, one of the five lords of the Philistines. And then there was the great problem. The great problem was that Achish took these 600 valiant fighting men with the Philistines to fight against Israel, to fight against King Saul. What was David to do? He was being led into battle against his own people, after all his deceit, trying to convince Achish that he'd been fighting against his own people all along when he'd never done such a thing. He was only fighting against the enemies of the Lord. But, as we say, the Lord let him off the hook. The other Philistine lords would not allow David and his men to go into the battle, so Achish sent them back. And then, as they come back to Ziklag, we read here in chapter 30 and verse 1, as they return on the third day, well, the Amalekites had come. The ancient enemies of Israel, they'd invaded the south. They'd burned Ziklag with fire, taken the women captives and all the children. They didn't kill anyone, but they took everyone and burned the whole of the city after taking all of the spoil. Wow. We see the great sorrow of David and his men there in verse 4. The people and David lifted up their voices and wept until they couldn't weep anymore. They were so exhausted with their sorrows. And the followers' reaction there in verse 6, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. And because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man had lost his sons and his daughters and his wives, of course. And then comes this enormous change. This enormous change at the end of verse 6. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You know, sometimes the Lord needs to do desperate things for us to wake up, for us to wake up spiritually, and this is what happened here. And we can be sure that sometimes we can get into such a state spiritually, so far from the Lord, that the Lord has to do desperate things in our lives to bring us back to him, to wake us up to spiritual realities and to send us back to the Lord. This is the great lesson of this chapter. Well, we see that it couldn't have been worse. We see in verse 3, the city was put to fire. All their possessions and flocks were taken, and their wives and sons and daughters, or they were in such a state. We especially see that David's two wives were taken at this time. His first wife we know nothing about, but Abigail, the widow of Nabal, well, she was a fine woman, lovely spiritual woman. We've read of her and of her part to play in David's life. Oh, David was desperate. He'd lost those that were closest to him, those that were near and dear to him, and all were gone. He could see they weren't dead. There were no bodies lying around, as you might have expected in such an attack. No, all were taken, but all that didn't matter. They were taken. It was a wretched thing for him. But then, in the midst of this great low point, we see David encouraged himself in the Lord. All else filled him with sorrow and with fear. All that his eyes beheld was desolation and to be stoned. Well, that might have been a good way out for David at this time. He'd lost everything: his goods, his family, his loved ones, the loyalty of his followers, and certainly the fellowship of his God up till then. But in all this, David's eye of faith brightened again. And David saw what was going on spiritually, and he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Obviously, this was a situation of great discouragement. Life seems mostly to be discouraging in our days, I think, even for believers. It's not always true, but it often seems so. Well, I could easily add this morning to our discouragement by listing many things, but that's hardly the point of my sermon. Of course, I want us to dwell on this, that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. But just to list a few discouragements is to see why we need this, and why this account of David and his life, which seems so outside of our experience, is totally applicable to us. That's why we love the Word of God. That's like why we pore over these Old Testament passages to see what the Lord would have to say to us. That's what we're doing here this morning. Well, of course, we can think of the disappointment of some of our family members, the sort of directions they're going in, the sort of things they think, the way they behave, some of the things they've done. Well, of course, that may be the case. What a great frustration that we have in the many things that we'd love to do. We just don't seem to have the power or the time or the energy or the intellect to do them. So much frustration in our lives, so much that we'd like to do, but there seems no opportunity. Or perhaps there's a problem with our health as well. And certainly from a church point of view, so few come in. Children so often are so unresponsive to the Word of God. Really, if honest, we see so little real blessing compared with days gone by when there were great times of revival, Christian revival in our country. But that's enough of that. As I say, I want to this morning encourage ourselves in these things. But just to say that, it's enough to see that what David did was out of a crying need. What he did made all the difference. So we turn our attention to it. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Well, first, we can be sure about what David was not doing. He is not coming to a desperate situation and saying, "Oh well, the Lord knows. He'll sort it out." This is not David saying, "The people are ready to stone me, but it's not my fault. So, Lord, I'll just leave this in your hands." We cannot get to grips with what is happening here without a real understanding of how God works. And also, there are certain assumptions that we must make when we see things turn around as we do here. This is not magic, friends. This is not some sort of charismatic phenomenon. This is not simpleton Christianity that sees all problems as just let go and let God take over. Grit your teeth and trust the Lord and we'll get through the difficulty in 5 minutes flat. That's not the real world, friends. That's certainly not the real world of real Christians and the real world of God working in all these things for our good. What then exactly should we assume was happening with David as we read these tremendous words? Well, we ask a simple question. What enabled David to encourage himself in the Lord his God? What led him to do that? In the midst of all his sorrow and fear, in the midst of all this mystery and dilemma, well, we must see that he did not just sit down calmly and just think, "Oh well, things are not so bad. It couldn't have been worse. It couldn't have been worse." At the very least, there must have been with David, of course, some reflection. on what was happening. You don't have to be any sort of theologian or expert Bible student to see that as David arrives on this scene and sees the great devastation and understands that everyone's been taken captive and everything he owned, but especially all that was near and dear to him, had been taken away. And then to read that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God, well, he must first have thought this. He must have thought, this is all my fault. This is all my fault. Mine. The others of my band, they've just followed me. He was the undisputed leader. He had left off prayer, certainly for guidance. He had led them over to the Philistines. He had got them into the mess of nearly fighting against his own people. He had carried on a game of deceit for 16 months, pretending to Achish, king of Gath, that he had been plundering Israel and conning Achish into thinking that David was the enemy now of Israel. But most of all, David reflected how he had spent all that time out of fellowship with his God, far off from any spiritual walk, neglecting prayer, a terrible witness to his men. There could have been no encouragement here without all this going on in his mind and heart first. Same with us, friends. Same with us. We may not be in such a bad situation as David and his men were at that day, but if we have an eye to the very real discouragements of personal life, personal Christian life, and the church, then there must be this. There must be this. Where am I wrong in all this situation? You won't have any trouble seeing what's wrong with others, of course, but that will not lead to any encouragement. But let's reflect on this. Where does my fault lie? It may well be that we won't have to admit it's all my fault, as David really had to say, but we must see our part of the fault, our portion of the blame, where we have contributed to the lack of blessing or the failure to see personal blessing. Now, this must be part of perhaps a painful process that leads to real encouragement. Now, it follows that if all this must be assumed before encouragement could come, that again, it is pretty obvious that that sort of thinking must lead to repentance. David surely repented in this awful situation as he saw it was all his fault, nearly all his fault. He must have sat down. He must have been so sorrowful. He could see what all his wretched spiritual, low spiritual life had come to as he saw all this loss. We also, friends, we've got to come to this point as we reflect on our lives. And even though our situations are not as bad as this, but we see so little encouragement, we must begin to reflect. What is my part? Where am I lacking? We'll look at this in a moment in a more practical way. But we must begin to reflect. Where is my fault? Where am I to blame? Where am I lacking? And oh, we must see that that must lead to repentance, asking the Lord to forgive us, sorrowing over our wretched spiritual state. You cannot jump from a distressing situation or a discouraging situation or a lack of blessing situation straight to some sort of encouragement in the Lord. It doesn't work like that. We must make these assumptions, and of course we find them all through the scripture. To pretend that we are blessed, well, that's cold comfort, is it? Isn't it? It really brings no encouragement at all. To pat each other on the back and say, well, that was good, or haven't we done well, or things are looking a little brighter, friends, that can all be rather false, can't it? We will never look at the causes of the lack of blessing in our lives and the life of our church, and never know real encouragement until we assess the situation properly and certainly spiritually. And that's what we'll seek to do in the little while we have here this morning. Now, we notice here, look there at the end of verse 6, he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, what does that show us? It shows us that it is possible. That it is possible. This is not something we can't do. You might have read this so far this morning and thought, well, it's all right for David. and I can't seem to do that. But friends, the point is, he encouraged himself in the Lord, his God, and it's not impossible. We can do it as well. It's not just a wait and hope situation. And it all shows us that it does make a real difference, as we shall see. Our spiritual attitude is everything, friends. It's everything. Our spiritual attitude. He encouraged himself. And it's not a question of our spiritual attitude, say, of a long period, because David had long been in a backslidden state. It's our spiritual attitude now, at this moment, even this morning, as we think about our lives. Once we have had a deep reflection and true repentance, and it doesn't take long, because all this happened in a day, so that encourages us as well. This isn't something that's going to take months and years. This all happened in a day. But once there is true reflection on our own spiritual lives and where we're going wrong, and then there is true repentance, well, things can be changed. We can be encouraged that the great change can come in our life. But once this has happened, so our spiritual attitude is everything, because it makes the change. What will we do? What will we do once this has happened, as we reflect on these things, as we see our part in the blame, as it were, as we begin to repent? What will we do? What use will we make of these things? Will we determine to turn around and be encouraged? So many of us have from time to time got to this position, and then we've let it slide. It's almost as if this narrative of David here is saying to us, come on! Come on, you can do it too. He encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. And I really want to get that thought over to you, that we can do it with the Lord's help, of course. But this is something that he calls us to. He encouraged himself. Now, the Hebrew is very helpful to us here, the original language. Encourage himself. It's a big expression. Big expression. Let me try to round it off and see how great a meaning it is to us. First of all, this encouraged himself has the idea of to fasten upon. It's almost as if it's something that you seize and are very strong about. And do you see what this means? It means we must get hold of ourselves. We must get hold of ourselves. That's what David is doing here. No doubt about it. And that's just the very thing so often we don't do. In many of the crises of life, especially to the young people, we would say, now you must get a hold of yourself. You must get a hold of yourself. This is surely a spiritual thing as well. For all of us, get a grip on spiritual life, is what this is teaching us. Come to our spiritual senses. Get real. Take ourselves in hand. Take a cool look at these things. This is part of encouraging ourselves. Taking a great grip on our spiritual lives. Thinking spiritually. Can we see what's wrong? Perhaps we have to look back a long way to where we can perhaps detect where we began to go wrong in our spiritual lives. Can we see why there are the difficulties we have in our lives? Is it something that stared us in the face in the past, but we let it go? It's too difficult to deal with. It would cause us too much of a stir in our lives. But reflection and repentance are all to do with this. To take ourselves in hand. To get the grip on our spiritual lives. Now, even from our English word, encourage, you can see that this getting a grip on spiritual life is certainly something courageous. The easy thing is to leave it. Just leave it. The cowardly thing is to just let it go, carry on the same with a wimpish, well, what can I do about it? But to encourage ourselves is all about the brave thing. It's all about the courageous thing. In other words, the Christian thing. The worldling leaves it. The unbeliever has no spiritual strength to deal with his problems. But those that are truly the Lord's have all the power of the living God to powerfully get to grips with the spiritual concerns that have perhaps a long time been left untouched. David encouraged himself in his God. Now, this expression, encouraged himself, I told you it was a big word. Well, it also conveys the idea of repairing, of fortifying, establishing something. if we would encourage ourselves in the Lord, there must be a repair. There must be a repair. Things have gone rotten in our lives. Things have broken down, decayed. We must view coming back from a backslidden state as a repair. Has prayer broken down? Then the greatest encouragement will come as you repair that, to fit it together again. Prayer, to build it up, to put it back in place in your life. Has the Bible taken a low place in our estimation now? Then we must get to reading it again. Read great chunks of the Bible. Read the easy bits, but read lots of it. Put it back in its place. Make it the big thing in your life. Make a repair there. That's encouraging yourself in the Lord. When seeking to do something for the Lord becomes something that we've left far behind, what do we do? Do we do anything for the Lord? Or such a service for the Lord becomes a bit of a drag, or rather wearisome, then it needs fortifying. It needs to occupy a deal of time and thought and prayer in our lives. If fellowship has all but disappeared, if we have to think hard about the last time we had a half-decent conversation with Christian friends, it needs to be cultivated again, built up. Have sinful habits or worldly concerns and activities crushed the spiritual aspect of our lives so that spiritual thoughts are clouded, spiritual aims are lost, spiritual reading left behind, spiritual activity ground to a halt? We need to establish all these things again. We need to build up the old paths. We need to return to the former ways, build up the old waste places, rise up and be a repairer of the breach, a restorer of the paths to dwell in. Do you see, friends, to encourage ourselves means we need to make a repair. And this encouraging ourselves has to do also with a conquering situation. We're to conquer ourselves. It's a battle. David had been fighting many battles. So do we, so often. Life is a battle, of course. But we need to conquer ourselves. To encourage ourselves is certainly to conquer ourselves, to play the man. But we must not think that this is all about getting some sort of victory by producing great confidence in ourselves. Far from it. Far from it. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He exercised faith in his God, in who he is, the great and glorious maker and creator of this universe, the sustainer of our lives, the one who is that loving heavenly father to all his children, and that comes with only good gifts to us from day to day. Well, friends, as he encouraged himself in the Lord his God, and his thoughts turned to God rather than himself, then he was encouraged. He thought of how great and powerful and kind and loving was his God. He was his good shepherd that probably he'd already written about, and the one in whom he would have no want and would keep him and guard him through life so that he could live forever in the tabernacles of God. Friends, he turned to his God and trusted in his God. This is what we need to do to encourage ourselves, not in our own strength, not in our own power, our own intellect, or shaking ourselves in some way and thinking we'll get out of our discouragement. Of course not. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God, to think on him and his wonderful attributes and what he has done for us in the past and all the promises that he has made to us. Of course, we must. He encouraged himself in the power and providence of God. Why? Saul had twice thrown his javelin at David, and David had escaped. Umpteen times Saul had come against him with his small army, against his small band, and tried to take him, and David had escaped every time. He had gone into the very camp of Saul and taken his javelin while the Lord had made them all asleep. David remembered the great providence and power of God, and he encouraged himself in those things at this time. So must we. So must we, friends. How God is a powerful God, and he's a God of providence, and he winds our way so that we might be built up on our most holy faith and walk with him in this world and go to be with him in glory. And of course, he encouraged himself in the promises of God and faithfulness in keeping them all. Why? As a young lad, he had been anointed king. He knew that he was destined to be the king of Israel after Saul. He knew that. Why was it that he could forget it from time to time? But he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And he understood and he knew. God anointed me once to be the king. He will bring it to pass. It is his promise. I remember dear old Samuel pouring the oil upon my head. And then shortly after going out and fighting against Goliath, who defied the armies of the God of Israel. And he came and strengthened me and empowered me and took me into the battle. And the giant was slain and Israel had a great victory. He began to remember all these things and bring them to his mind. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God and God's faithfulness in all these things. And he had such remembrance then of the grace and mercy and goodness of God and his former experiences of it. Why, even when he got a bit wild, and was going to kill Nabal's family because they snubbed him. And Abigail, dear Abigail, had met him coming down the corner of the hill and told him all those wonderful things that David knew were true. That one day he would be the king, and he didn't want to sully his witness and his reputation by the murdering of a family just because he'd been snubbed. Oh, it was wonderful. God had kept him there, stopped him in the nick of time from doing something dreadful. He remembered all these things, and he encouraged himself in the Lord his God that had done those things for him. And we must also, we must remember how good God has been to us. Why? Even if there is only just one thing we remember, that there was a time when we were far from the Lord, far in our sin, having no care of God, not even a belief in his being and existence. And he brought us to himself and made us see our wretched sin and offence against him. And then he showed us the Saviour, spiritually dying upon the cross. And we trusted in him by the Spirit. And we repented of our sin. And he changed our lives and made us his and gave us heaven instead of hell. Oh, friends, we remember what the Lord has done to us in his grace and mercy and goodness. We must encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. And oh, here was David hoping and believing that God would appear for him in some way now. Oh, work salvation for him in this situation. So must we. We must trust that our God will be so good to us. Oh, friends, here we see David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, as we read these words, we must insist on them. We must insist on them, on the need to do it. We must encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. I don't want you to go away this morning, friends, and thinking, well, that was interesting. That was a little upbuilding in my spirits. Friends, not just that, but we need to do it. Well, I can speak to you negatively here. This is what will happen if we don't do it. If we don't encourage ourselves in the Lord our God, we'll continue to be sorry for ourselves. We'll continue to mope over our lives and we'll have no concern about anyone else. Oh, poor me, poor me. That's all it'll be if we do not encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. And our friends, if we don't do it, we'll just accept the situation, not in a contented spiritual way, but in a complacent sense. I can't do anything about it. I'll just carry on. When I get the knocks, well, I'll just get through them. Oh, friends, wretched. What sort of witness is that? It's pathetic. Friends, if we don't encourage ourselves in the Lord our God, then more and more situations will overwhelm us until we're completely dominated by the circumstances of life, and we'll have no witness that the grace of God has worked in our lives. Will we have any really real assurance that we're even the Lord's? Oh, friends, if we do not encourage ourselves in the Lord our God, well, it's a great discouragement to other believers also. How wretched. We're all struggling, but how wretched if we see some amongst us that really do not go on in this way and encourage themselves in the Lord. They're always moping, always complaining, never moving forward in the Christian life. It's a wretched thing, a wretched thing. Oh, friends, it's a dangerous thing. If we do not encourage ourselves in the Lord our God, it's so dangerous. You know where it will end? It will end in utter depression. Or even as David and his men arrived there on that day, and all of a sudden things had changed for them. Everything's gone. Their loved ones taken from them. All their possessions. Life itself was emptied of them now. They were totally depressed. That's where they would have stayed if David hadn't encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Oh, friends, this is dangerous. Be careful. Assess your own spiritual life and come repenting to the Lord. And friends, if we don't encourage ourselves in the Lord, it's the very opposite of what grace and the Holy Spirit's indwelling is meant to prove. That we have changed lives. That now we're dependent on the Lord. That we can be strong spiritually. And that we can do exploits for the Lord. Oh, do you see it? And of course, if we don't encourage ourselves in the Lord, well, it's a sin problem. Sin continues. Sin continues in our life. Have we ever been forgiven? Has the spell of the habit of sin ever been broken in our lives because we're converted? Oh, friends, do you see all these negative things? If we don't encourage ourselves in the Lord, but oh, we need to do it. Let's think positively now for a moment. David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. This is one of the experiences of the Christian life. I'm convinced that David would often have thought back to this occasion when everything was gone, and yet in a little while, after he encouraged himself in the Lord his God, he recovered all. This is one of the great experiences of life. Don't miss out on it, Christian friend. Come and encourage yourself in the Lord your God, and you'll know a wonderful experience of the Lord's closeness and blessing and power and encouragement, of course. Oh, friends, of course we must encourage ourselves in the Lord our God, because this is what sorts everything out. We look at our problems and our difficulties, our discouragement, our fears. What's going to sort them out? This. Encouraging ourselves in the Lord our God. And of course, also, this is what the Lord wants. This is what the Lord wants of us. And of course, also, it breaks Satan's spell. It's a great breakthrough. Repentance. And all, friends, then everything is bearable. We live our lives then with great long suffering, bearing all the difficulties that come our way and the trials. Do you see the negative and the positive? We must do this. We must encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. And then I must, of course, as I come to conclusion, look at the differences that it makes. This is such a good chapter for a preacher to look at these things. First of all, it's almost as if we had two lists here from the narrative. Look here at the great fear in verse 3. The princes of the Philistines, I'm looking at the long chapter, verse 3. David and his men come and see what's happened. Everyone's got, they're full of fear. And yet, this is changed. David encourages himself in the Lord, and then look down to verse 17. We see here David smote them from twilight even to the evening. Fear had all gone. Now they were courageous. Now they were bold. Nothing filled them with fear anymore. Why? Because David had encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Look at the weeping there of verse 4. We've looked at it already. They wept in such a way that they couldn't weep anymore. But then look at the great change in verse 18. David recovered all. And David rescued his two wives. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that for David and his men to recover their wives, their little ones? What joy that would have filled them with. Oh, it was wonderful. How did that happen? Because David encouraged himself in the Lord his God, and it made all the difference. And then look at this inactivity there in verse 4 again. They weep so they can weep no more. They were exhausted. They couldn't do anything at all. Spiritually, we get to that point very often. We don't seem to be able to do anything. Anything for ourselves, our families, spiritually I'm speaking of, or our church. But look there in verse 9. David goes on with the 600 men pursuing, even as the Lord had called them and directed them to do. You see what a change comes about. And then, of course, all that time that David was with the Philistines, we can't imagine that he was praying. He was in an awful situation. But then in verse 8, well, he's asking the Lord, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? Hear his prayer. That's the big difference now, because he's encouraged himself in the Lord. Well, the great depression that he had there in verse 6, the people were even thinking of stoning him. That all now turns to faith as he encourages himself in the Lord. And you see there in verse 9, he goes out at the command of the Lord with his men to fight against the Amalekites. And then, of course, you see the difference. That's what I'm trying to show here, that encouragement in the Lord makes. You see, the others are there to stone him until he encourages himself, and then they're all following him. One minute they want to stone him, David encourages himself in the Lord, and then they're all following him, at one heart with him. He's restored as their leader. Oh, that's what witness is all about. People follow and listen to us. And the great distress that they were in, to the great determination that they had there, as 400, well, 200 of them were so tired they couldn't cross that raging stream of Besor, but the other 400, they're determined. And you see, that's the difference again. At first they're confused and perplexed as they turn to Ziklag, and then there's clear thinking, as we see there in verse 15. Canst thou bring me down to this company? He's talking to this Egyptian slave that's been found, and he's thinking clearly what he ought to do. Friends, we read here in verse 19, I think it is, David recovered all. He recovered all. All because he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Well, I won't look at the last part of the chapter very much, but you see, after he recovered all, when everything was so different, verse 21, he salutes his brethren that had waited behind and looked after the stuff. Some of the wretched men in his group didn't want to share anything, but David now is an acclaimed leader. He is the one they follow, and he makes it a rule that those that stay by the baggage, well, they get an equal share with those that went into the battle. And you see, here is David's spiritual recovery. He knows what is what, and he is pleasant in that situation, and he calms everyone's fear. David now is so much stronger. His testimony and his example now made him a credible leader, and his confidence was restored. Now he would put down evil, insist on fairness. What we could be in such a condition as that, if the Lord would take us through such an encouraging period. Well, his great generosity and kindness comes out as well, as he sends of the spoil to his friends in Judah. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord, friends, by reflection, by repentance. So many good things will manifest themselves to us and make us strong in the Lord. Are there things in our lives that need repairing? Get to them. Don't let them slip. Encourage yourself in the Lord your God. You know what he has done for you. Bless him, and he will do the same for you in the future. Come back to him and know his grace and his wonderful mercy. If David could do it, so can we. May the Lord bless us as we seek him. Amen.